Well, we'll bow now in a word of prayer and ask God for his help and his blessing tonight as we meet in a place of prayer. Dear loving Father in heaven, we come into thy holy and sacred presence tonight and in through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for our Saviour tonight. We praise you, Lord, for what the Saviour has done for each one of us. We thank you, loving Father, for lifting us even from that miry clay and for setting our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus. O God, we praise thee for such a Saviour. We thank you, loving Father, for the only Redeemer of God's elect as the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man and so was and continued to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. O God, we praise thee for such a Saviour. And loving Father, we just pray tonight that you would come and bless our waiting hearts. For Lord, we need a fresh blessing tonight. O God, we just cry unto thee that you would just close us in with thyself, that you would still our hearts tonight, Lord. Lord, help us to be still and know that thou art God. O God, we thank thee for coming before the just God. We thank you for the goodness of God. We praise you, Lord, for the righteousness of God. And dear Father in heaven, we pray that you would come and bless our waiting hearts this night. Just touch our hearts, Lord. Help us to pray, Lord. Give us the spirit of prayer and supplication. Lord, help us even as we read thy word. We pray, our God and Father, that you would speak to our very hearts this night. Lord, that you would hide thy word deep, even within our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. O God, we pray that we might have those clean hands and a pure heart as we'd enter into the holy hill of God. Lord, we thank thee for thy holy word. We praise you, loving Father, for the living word of the living God. And Lord, we just pray that you would just bless us now and bless each head bowed in thy presence and bless every family that's represented. And O God, we pray even for those who are not able to come tonight, that they might know a blessing even in their own homes or wherever they might be found. Hear our cry now, loving Father, and accept of our humble thanks for all the goodness of God toward us this very day. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We want to turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Well, it's good to see each one out tonight in the place of prayer. And we do pray that the Lord will draw us strangely near to all our hearts and bless us and do our hearts good. Psalm 73, we just want to read this psalm together. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as have of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bonds in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression and speak lofty. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued, and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awakens, so, O Lord, when thou awakens, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Amen. We pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts tonight. The psalmist here has this trouble, this fear, this anxiety, even within his heart, when he looks at the prosperity of the wicked. This was something that troubled him greatly. And you know, not only does it trouble the psalmist, but you go out throughout the Bible, there's many godly men, and this same problem. This problem of the prosperity of the wicked. And we could look at what the preacher said in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 15. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 15, he says, all things have I seen in the day of my vanity. There is a just man that perishes in his righteousness. And there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life and his wickedness. You know, this was a great problem as the psalmist looked upon this. And as the preacher says here, he sees the righteous. He says that perish in his righteousness. And there is a wicked man that prolongeth his long days, it says, his life in wickedness. You know, it is said that every thinking person has struggled with the problem of doubt and fears. And we can all fit into that bracket from some time or another. Trouble, doubt, and fears will come upon us. You think of in Matthew there, Matthew 8, 25 to 26, remember, the Lord's disciples came to him and they awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. You see, their eyes were on the storm. Their eyes were not on the Savior. And their hearts were filled with fear. They were fearful. You know, this Psalm 73, I think we could say it falls into two parts. We have the psalmist, we have his problem. The first part, from 1 to 16, we see his problems and his fears and his doubts. And then in the second part, from 17 to 28, we have his praise. He's praising God when he goes into the sanctuary of God. And you no doubt, he acknowledges God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart, there in verse 1. But you'll notice immediately after that, look at verse 3. He says, but in verse 3, he has a problem. He's troubled at the prosperity of the wicked. He says, I was envious at the foolish. Isn't that when you think of it, this is a man of God now. And he says, I was envious at the foolish. Or that just means jealous. He was jealous at the foolish. And that word, no, envy, we all know what envy means. It just means that wishing that you had another what another person had. Or it means to covet. And what does the 10th commandment remind us? Thou shalt not covet. And here was the psalmist now looking at the foolish, and he's wishing he had what they had. And it comes down to the covet. Thou shalt not covet. Look at verse 4. It says, no bonds in their death. When he looks at the wicked, they're prospering. There's no bonds in their death, he says. Or in other words, that just means no struggle for them to die. That's the way he sees it. They die peacefully. No bonds in their death. Job 21 and verse 13, we read, they spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Just slip away in a moment, as it were, down to the grave. In verse 14, therefore they said unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of God. This is what the psalmist is saying here. He sees the wicked, and they're saying, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of God. You know, Jeremiah talked to God about this problem too. Turn with me to Jeremiah 12. Jeremiah 12. And we'll see what Jeremiah, hard to say here, in Jeremiah 12. We'll just read 1 to 3. He says, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. He says, yea, let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Jeremiah's coming to God and he wants to talk to him about God's judgments. And he says, wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy? Wherefore are they all happy? They deal very righteously. Thou hast planted them. He says to God, you've planted them. They have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. They're near in their mouth and far from their reins. You notice he uses the figure of a plant here. He says, thou hast planted them. In verse 3 there. And now, look at what he says here at the end of verse 3. But we'll read, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart toward thee. He says, pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. He's pleading with God now. He says, you've planted them. But he's pleading with God now to pull them up for the day of slaughter. You know, they were far, it says there in verse 2, far from their reins. God was far from their reins. God was far from their heart of the wicked. You know, doubts can come to the child of God when we take our eyes off our Saviour. And it can happen to any one of us. If we start looking to the wicked and start watching the wicked and how they prosper, then we'll start getting far away from God, just like the psalmist did here. He says in verse 3, I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And doesn't Psalm 37 remind us, fret not thyself because of evildoers? And we're all apt to do that from time to time. but were reminded to fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be there envious against the workers of iniquity. No doubt, the psalmist here is at a low ebb. Look what he says in verse 2 of our Psalm 73. He says, as for me, my feet are almost gone. As for me, my feet, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He was in slippery ground. When we gaze upon the wicked, our feet starts to slip. It's just like walking on ice. We'll go all over the place. We'll not be able to keep our feet. We'll not be able to stand firm on the word of God. But we'll be wandering all over the place and we'll be in danger. No doubt the psalmist is doubting God's goodness and he's doubting God's righteousness on account of the prosperity of the wicked. That's what he's weighing up here. You know, we could say, there go I, but for the grace of God. For we have seen many wicked men being raised up, and we've seen wickedness in every hand. But we must be careful and keep our eyes upon the Saviour. But then he takes a second look. Look at verse 17. This is what we want to really dwell upon tonight. Look at verse 17. He says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Then he understood their end. Until he went into the sanctuary of God, he saw clearly what was taking place. He saw clearly it was the wicked that were in slippery places, not him. He saw clearly it comes to the conclusion of the whole matter. And he says in verse 28, the last verse of the psalm we read, but it's good for me to draw near to God. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. You know, didn't James command us to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you? You know, for a man to draw near to God, or to draw nigh to God, he must have his peace made with God, in and through the mediator of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, any man just can't draw nigh to God. We must have our peace made with God. We often sing those words, draw me near, our blessed Master, filled with all thy wondrous power, flowing through as you could use us, every day and every hour. Jesus Christ, our mediator. And those that have not their peace made with God, the Bible tells us they are afar off from God. For there's that middle wall of partition between God and man. And Job, remember, received the same advice. It says, acquaint now thyself with God, and be at peace with him, and so good shall come unto thee. Draw nigh unto God, and he shall draw nigh unto you. And this is explained in the following. It says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, it is to seek more communion and fellowship with God, to know him more, to know him more daily, to live in his presence and to love him more, to be in his company. You know, if you or I say we love someone, you'll want to be in their company. And if we confess to love Christ, surely we'll want to be in the place of prayer, we'll want to be in his company, we'll want to know him, we'll want to be in his word continually. And our cry is that the Lord will even draw us closer. He says, I have put my trust in the Lord God. You know, I want us to look at the advantages it is to draw near to God. Remember, Job 23 cried out in verse 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." You know, David gives us a sense of what drawing near looks like in Psalm 63 in the verse 1. When he was in the wilderness of Judah, he says, "O God, thou art my God. I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee in a dry and a weary land where there's no water." Look at those words there. "I shall seek thee earnestly." When we want to draw near to God, we need to be earnest to come before God. He says, "My soul thirsts for God." I wonder, have we any soul thirst for God? Do we not? We often say and we often pray, like the hart that panteth after the water brooks, may our souls pant after thee, the true and living God. And then he goes on to say, "My flesh yearns for thee." Is any yearning for God in these days? Yearning for God in a dry and a weary land where there's no water. In Psalm 69, in verse 17, he's pleading with God. He says, "And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily." You know, to draw near to God, we must humble ourselves. We've got to humble ourselves. In James 4 and 10, we read there, just turn to James 4 and 10. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." We want to be near to God. We want to be lifted up to God, as it were. Well, we have to humble ourselves. First of all, we have to get down and humble ourselves. And then the Lord will lift us up. Look at verse 8. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." What is it, really, to be double-minded? Well, those who claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, their Saviour, and yet practiced evil. Doesn't the Bible say, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." It's good to rejoice in the Lord, but it's also good to have godly sorrow, for it worketh repentance. To draw near to God, we have not only to humble ourselves, but we have to deny ourselves. And surely this is the hardest thing of all, to deny yourself. Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." It is good for us to draw near to God because of our relationship to God. Isaiah 64 and verse 8 we read, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are the work of thine hand. And doth not the child delight to draw near to his heavenly, to his earthly father? And how much more should you and I delight to draw near to our Heavenly Father, the one that His love never fails. Our love fails, but God's love never fails. And how we ought to delight to draw near to our Heavenly Father. We love what love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It is good for us to draw near to God, for we find that sweetness and content in it, and God will warm and melt our hearts like the two that walked on the Emmaus Road. Didn't they say, did not our hearts burn within us as they walked on that way with the Saviour? You know, following God fully in Numbers 14 and 14 we read, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that the Lord art among His people. The people will tell it. They have heard that the Lord is among the people, that the Lord hath seen face to face, and that the cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. You know, things of a worldly aspect draw the heart away from God. To draw near to God is our wisdom. In Job, we are told the price of wisdom is above rubies. It is wisdom to draw near. It is wisdom to draw near to God. He is the sweetest friend. He sticketh closer than any brother. To draw near to God is our honour. What an honour if you and I got an invite from the Queen. What an honour it would be. What preparations we would put into that. And we'd see everything would be in place. We'd be going there in our best clothes and everything would be in time. We wouldn't be late to meet the Queen. What an honour it would be. What an honour the great God of heaven has allowed sinful man to draw nigh and to draw near to Him, because we are blood royal of heaven. What an honour it is to draw near to God. In 2 Samuel 22, in verse 2, we read, "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto Him, and He became a captain over them." Isn't Jesus Christ the captain of our salvation? He became a captain over them. And not only is He our captain, but He's our husband. We read in Isaiah 54 and verse 5, "For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is His name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall He be called." You know, it's good to draw near to God, for He's our safety. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." It's good in times of danger to draw near to God. Habakkuk 3 and verse 4 we read, "And His brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of His hand, and there was the hiding of His power to safeguard His people." The Lord's our safeguard. God is our stronghold. There's no safety any other place. You know, if the sheep wander from the fold, they're in danger. They're in danger of the wild animal. They're in danger. And if we wander from God, we are in danger of Satan. For remember, the Bible tells us the devil's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's good to draw near unto God, for He's our peace. You know, the only thing which breaks our peace is when we do not keep close to God. That's what breaks our peace, when we wander away from God, when we get away from God. You know, what harmony is in the soul when it draws near to God? Read in Psalm 119 and 165th verse, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and no thing shall offend them." That struck my heart when I read that, you know. It says, "No thing shall offend them." We're so easily offended sometimes. Some brother or sister says any wee word at all, we're offended. Well, the Lord says here, they which love thy law, and no thing shall offend them. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Peace like a river that floodeth my soul. Oh, for the peace of God to flood our souls. It's good to draw near to God. Thus, why David could say in Psalm 4 and verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. That made his pillow soft. How comfortable it is to draw near to the sun. You know, in this lovely weather, isn't it pleasant to just to sit out in the sunshine and soak in the rays of the sun. But how sweet it is to approach near to the Sun of Righteousness and get our souls warmed and get our souls satisfied with the love of God. It's good to draw near to God, for he's our riches. Think of it. Riches of redeeming love. Think of the riches of redeeming love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You know, the whole wealth of God is available to every child of God. You ever think of that? The riches of his grace, the whole wealth of God is available to every Christian soul. The riches of his goodness, Romans 2 and verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? What about the riches of God's supply? Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Titus 3:6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. They are more precious than earthly riches. Hebrews 11:26, remember Moses esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of his reward. And they are also enduring riches. Proverbs 8:18, riches and honour are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. The treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge in Christ Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Look at the treasures of sound wisdom we find in Proverbs 8 and verse 5. It says, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye as an understanding heart. The Lord even helps us, you know, tonight when we come to pray. For he teaches us how we ought to pray. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The riches of God's grace is far beyond our ability. Yet God is gracious to us every day. It's good for me, the psalmist says, to draw near to God. And that's our prayer tonight, that as we draw near to God, we might know his grace and his riches and his grace and power upon our lives as we come to even seek his face in prayer.